are you and what are you doing here?
Hi, everybody.
Well, what are we waiting for?
This is fantastic.
Hello, hello, hello.
This will only hurt for 22 minutes.
It's very early. I may have to hurt you. Call me in 5 minutes.
This is something that is treatable. This is something that is fixable.
Hey, this is not a test.
Oh, my God, it's early.
Bombacity, vulgarity, violence. Beware the divides of March. On the Amy Beth Orkoy Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? Yeah, big day today. It's Super Tuesday Part 3, I guess. Make or break for some folks, especially freshman congressman, the boyish but ever-aging Marco Rubio down in Florida. And John Kasich seems to be running to be therapist-in-chief. Can he trump Trump in his home state? We'll talk. And don't be surprised if Bernie wins 3 out of 5 against Hillary. Uh-oh. Feeling the burn? Deja vu all over again? We'll talk. And by the way, is Caitlyn Jenner as clueless as she seems? And what does she have to do with all this? We'll talk about that, too. And the art of no, and how it may save your creative life. Speaking of which, Inspiration Action Challenge shout-outs, and some great music to round things out on, the day Caesar met his deadly fate, the Ides of March. Let's get to talking. It is a Tuesday, March 15th, 9 a.m. out west, 11 central, noon here in the east. You do the math regarding that spring forward nonsense. Twitter feed is a 24/7 proposition at AB Rights, and Aurora tells us the Facebook page is open. So if you're loquacious and want to do most of your talking with your fingers, have at us. The show today being brought to you in part by Audiophile, music, books, podcasts, caress your ears with everything you want to hear from Audiophile. Also, by Lowe's, if you're thinking about a spring spruce-up, they've got ideas and savings at Lowe's. And by PopNet, arts, culture, and conversation on air, online, 24/7. PopNet, by the way, now features select editions of the Amy Beth Arkley Show. So, yeah, I know a lot of folks are still recovering from that, losing that extra hour of sleep. But you'll enjoy the longer daylight when you leave work, etc. There's always a trade-off in life. Let's get talking and let's get cruising. With the Ides of March driving us in their vehicle. I'm the Amy Beth Arkley Show. Welcome aboard.
Hey, well, I'm a friend, a stranger in the black sedan. I want you hop inside my car. I got sippy top candy. I'm a lovable man, and I can take you to the nearest star. I'm your vehicle, baby.
I need you. I want to have you, child. Break
heaven, you know I love you.
Time, why you punish me like a wave crashing into the shore? You wash away my dreams. Time, why you walk away like a friend with somewhere. You left me crying. Can you teach me about tomorrow and all the pain and sorrow running free? 'Cause tomorrow's just another day and I don't believe in time.
I'll pretend I didn't hear that.
Illinois, Ohio, Missouri, Florida, North Carolina, your time has come today. If you're there, vote. It's a very crucial primary for both sides of the aisle. Welcome aboard the Amy Beth Arkley Show. That's the Chambers Brothers, a timely forgotten 45 for Leon. Thanks for checking in. You'll be in the Blowfish, too, with Time and that pulsating one-hit wonder by the Ides of March and Vehicle on the Amy Beth Arkley Show. And speaking of vehicles, if you don't have a ride to the polling place, find a neighbor who can drive you there. No excuses. It's important to exercise your vote. And they're scrambling. It's so intriguing the way some states have open primaries where you can vote if you're from, if you're an independent or from another primary, you can switch primaries on that day. And such is the case in Ohio, and this could spell bad news for both John Kasich and Hillary Clinton. Apparently, a lot of Democrats are switching to Republicans. The theory, of course, back in Michigan when she lost, surprisingly, to Bernie Sanders, was that a lot of Democrats were voting for Trump to boost Hillary Clinton because they thought she was a shoo-in to win the primary, and they want Trump to get the nomination because they believe he's easy to beat. We'll see about all of those things. But anyway, it didn't work then, and it may be the same story here in Ohio, or people are just fed up and like Trump, and that could hurt Kasich as well. So we'll see what happens. I'm kind of thinking as I game it, and from what I'm reading and the polls that keep shifting, and they're unreliable to begin with, that Bernie Sanders may actually win 3 out of the 5 contests. I think Hillary is a pretty safe bet for a big win in Florida and a closer win in North Carolina. But what looked like a shoe in both Ohio and Illinois and possibly Missouri seems to be up for grabs. I think Illinois is certainly up for grabs now because she took a big hit, both with the trade comments and issues and her affiliation with Rahm Emanuel, who the mayor of Chicago, who is incredibly unpopular at this particular point. We'll see. So if you are a Hillary supporter, go out and vote, and you live in those states. Don't take it for granted that she's a shoo-in. And if you're a Bernie supporter, you should vote for him. And, of course, if you're a Republican, the same thing. Vote for who you want to vote for. But, you know, again, I always say you have to take a stand and vote. Otherwise, you can't grouse for the next 4 years. The rest of us can grouse if you vote the wrong way or you sit in your hands, but that's another deal. So we'll see what happens. John Kasich intrigues me as a candidate. He comes off as more moderate than I believe he is, but he has a good temperament. And what I will say about him, though, is he running for commander-in-chief or therapist-in-chief? because after he voted for himself, he came out and said, you know, the most intriguing thing about being on the campaign trail, how many lonely people there are who need someone to tell them they're special. I like that as someone who's trained as a therapist, but I'm not so sure that's the right tack to take as a commander-in-chief. Very intriguing. Can he trump Trump in his home state? And if he doesn't, I guess it's Trump's race to lose. Reach out via Twitter, AB Wrights, phone line 347-857-4505. I think we have a caller. Hey, welcome to the show.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was me. Hi there. My name's Christopher Calkins. I'm a friend of Amy's on the Facebook thingy a lot, talking about this is a very interesting race, and the talk of crossover voting is important. I think it's overblown because I think most people have enough trouble just getting to the polls and voting rather than having to go through the machinations that you'd have to take place to crossover vote. It happens every year. There's not very much you can do about it. My point.
Have you seen the reports about Ohio? Because they claim that it's up 15% of Democrats voting. 15% of Democrats have switched just today, as of 11 o'clock this morning, I believe. So that's a fair number, if that's correct.
And Sanders has a fair to middling chance in Ohio, and a better chance, I think, in Illinois.
I agree.
But the numbers, I hate to say it, you know, I think Bernie Sanders is a fine man and possibly a great American, but at this point, as things stand, he has absolutely no mathematical chance of gaining the nomination. When delegates are awarded proportionally, as with the Democrats, making up a 200-plus delegate deficit, which Sanders has, it's virtually impossible. He would have to win about 54% of the vote in every state. That includes the real red states that are to come, and Florida. He'd have to win 54% of the vote in every state remaining for him to catch up to Hillary Clinton. And I just can't make the math work the way it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen either. But it certainly makes Hillary uncomfortable, and it's certainly going to prolong this process, which may be a good thing. I mean, I'm not saying it's a good or a bad thing.
One thing that Bernie Sanders has done is he has pulled Hillary Clinton farther to the left, which is a good thing for all of us, for every progressive and Democrat. I have no problem with that. You know, just looking at the numbers here, Trump has no chance of gaining the White House whatsoever.
Because, I hope so.
No, you don't have to hope. It's there in black and white.
Let me put this to you, Christopher, because you know, I'm sure you were around in 2000 when people were voting for Ralph Nader. There are a lot of people who have this Bernie or bust mentality on the Democratic side.
My question is,
it's about turnout. Are people going to sit on their hands and say, well, it's Hillary, and, you know, she's just as bad? You know, to me, that's ridiculous. You know, don't let, you know, as the expression goes, the perfect be the enemy of the good. You know, you have to go with the best bet you got. You can't just sit on your hands and say the heck with it, which a lot of people do that get in 2000, and some people are threatening to do now.
Well, I agree, but I remember going through this, you know, blank or bust with Bradley, with Dean, with Kucinich. You always have a slice of people that are gonna do that. It matters not. I'm praying that Trump gets the nomination because he's polling at 52% minus negative among Republicans nationwide.
Yeah, he's the easiest
person. even conservative pollsters and political analysts agree that for any candidate, either party, to gain the presidency, they have to gather a minimum of between 36% and 40% of the American Hispanic vote. Now, Romney got 27%, and Trump's not going to get one-fifth of that.
Yeah.
And he's going to even do worse with the African-American vote. So Donald Trump will be elected president on the same day that Ayn Rand is elected pope, actually. It's not in the cards. Not going to happen. Hey, really good talking to you guys.
Let's hope. But, I mean, before you go, in the meantime, though, isn't he polluting the atmosphere in a way that's very negative? I mean, the way he's campaigning,
I agree with you.
I hope you're right. But I'm really, in a way, just what he's doing to the country, I think, is so detrimental and dangerous.
It's been done before, okay? Maybe not this 24/7 and loud. That's a function of technology.
Right.
But
cable
if you
TV
remember
and social
George
media,
Wallace's
yeah.
campaign, for instance, it was every bit as ugly, but it wasn't everywhere. Like I said, that's a function of technology.
Right.
The fascist slice of the American conservatives has always been there, and in about the same proportion on balance that it is now. It's just now that you can see them and hear them every damn day of the week, every damned hour of the day, it seems like it's a huge, scary movement. But it's not. You know, Trump holds, I would bet, 40%, not even 40%, 30% of the conservative side, because the Republicans actually hate him. But, and that's 30% of about 40%, which is 16%. So he's not going to win anything. He's not going to win women. He's not going to win Hispanics. He's not going to win blacks. And that's just a death knell for the poor man.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because he's not really a Republican or a Democrat. I mean, he doesn't really have an ideology. He just goes where he thinks, you know, he didn't create the anger, he didn't create the resentment, the fear, all that stuff. He's just stoking it in such a way that he's making it a lot worse, and that's where I think
the
danger.
That's a very old tactic, actually.
Yeah.
Gin up violence in your crowd, and when the violence breaks out, blame it on your enemies and claim to be the strong man that can save us from, you know, the ISIS, Black Panthers, he lumps them all together. But, I mean, Franco did that. Pinochet did that. Suharto did that. Goebbels did that for Hitler. It's an old fascist tactic, but I don't think it's going to work this time. I know it's not going to work this time.
Yeah, well, hopefully it won't. But it's interesting to watch him because from the sidelines, he's an intriguing figure too, and the whole way he's gaming it is interesting because he came out yesterday and actually said it's kind of more exciting now with all the violence, isn't it? I mean, the fact that he can say certain things and still he has, you're right, it's a very small amount of people in general, but it seems because we started with so many people on the Republican side in terms of candidates that he still has that 30-plus percent,
yeah.
So he's winning. I mean, he's not winning.
No,
I don't think he's won any race with 50% of the vote, but he's winning with 35% of the vote because there's so many candidates in the race.
He's a flim-flam man. That's basically what he is.
Yeah.
You know, at the turn of the last century in the early 1900s, he'd be the guy in the smoky tent at the back of the carnival that was biting the heads off live chickens for thrown dimes, basically. All he is a flim-flam man. All he is a confidence man. And I hope he gets the nomination because Hillary Clinton will be on stage on national TV debating a fern. And I'd really love to see that. I really would. I got to go. You guys have a good day.
Thank you so much, Christopher. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. What's your view? Reach out via Twitter, AB Wright's phone line if you're listening live on Tuesday, March 15th. 347-857-4505. So, yeah, Hillary Clinton, I think she does have the best chance against Donald Trump. I think, you know, when you watch her, she's had a couple of bad unforced errors in the last couple of days. That comment with the funeral of Nancy Reagan about how Nancy Reagan helped spearhead research for HIV and AIDS, not good. She quickly walked it back, though. To her credit, she can say she's sorry. She made a mistake as opposed to her opponent, Donald Trump, or her possible opponent, Donald Trump, I should say. But that was a bad thing to say because the Reagan administration dragged their heels for years on HIV/AIDS. I was a kid back then, I remember, and I know friends who suffered and who died from AIDS. So anybody in that community, anybody who knows anybody, has some still hungover resentment from the Reagan era about the way they handled HIV/AIDS. The only thing you could say, and I read an article by a gay man who said, you know, I'm not blaming Hillary Clinton, I still support her for one mistaken comment, but the truth was, and he did say that if anybody helped get it going in the Reagan administration, it might have been Nancy because she was friends with Rock Hudson, she got some nudging from Elizabeth Taylor, and some people helped push her and then push Ronald Reagan on the right track to get things done. But it was six, seven years too late in terms of funding and research and all of that, so you really can't highlight that. And of course, she walked it back, Hillary Clinton, and said, I misspoke. I meant to say that they were in the forefront of stem cell research and fighting for research regarding Alzheimer's disease and all of that. So, but she had that moment, and then she had a moment that was kind of dicey. Of course, they were talking about trade, which is very much more nuanced a topic than a lot of people understand. And unfortunately, the way the electorate works is people want to hear sound bites and they want to hear quick answers, and that's it. So her position on trade and the fact that she's been in the public eye for 25 years and more doesn't help. We've talked about that many times. But she did make a comment the other day at one of these town halls where she talked about putting the coal industry out of business, and a lot of coal miners are going to lose jobs. Now, that's what people heard. I don't even know if she walked it back on stage. She had representatives, and later in another town hall she did say the idea is to re-educate these people but get them better-paying jobs in the green industry, et cetera, which is great. But when you make that mistake and maybe somebody didn't hear the correction, will that hurt her in a place like Ohio and Illinois and Missouri? Those are iffy. Those are iffy today. I agree with what our caller just said, Christopher just said, that you know the math doesn't work out for Bernie Sanders, but the momentum may, and he'll raise more money and prolong this and keep it going. And that may be a good thing in terms of pushing her to the left and making her a better candidate, but it may be time to start pivoting to the general election soon, especially if Trump wraps things up today. Not so sure that's going to happen, but he's closing in, that's for sure. So for all the coal miners out there, they'll find you a green job, and it's about time, too. Reach out. Your views, AB Wright's Twitter feed, 347-857-4505 on the phone line.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about to slip down. Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine, about to slip down.
5 o'clock in the morning.
Working in a coal mine, going down, down, down. Working in a coal mine,
What is it about the wrong kind of man?
Darcy, thanks for checking in. And Lee Dorsey, working in a coal mine. Coal miners, don't worry. You got to get retrained for better, greener, better-paying jobs. That's what she meant to say. Yeah. We'll see how it all plays out. Big states today, Ohio, Illinois, Missouri, on the, you know, kind of up to grabs between Hillary and Bernie, I'd say. Looks like she's got Florida and North Carolina with ease, probably big victory in Florida, which, of course, as we were talking about with our caller, will help the calculus in terms of the delegate vote. All proportional for Democrats. Republicans, I thought it was from here on in going to be winner-take-all, but apparently that's not the case. It's winner-take-all in Ohio and Florida, but the other states are proportional. Is that right? I don't get it. It's so convoluted the way each party does a different thing and each state does their own thing. It's a crazy country. That's for sure. Remember the swinging chads in 2000? Reach out with your views today. You're right. A lot of folks chiming in, and it's a mixed bag, which I love because I like it when people have different views. You know how I like to step out of the echo chamber, so to speak, and see what everybody's thinking. Phelps says, yeah, I think Hillary will win, but it'll be a squeaker, not as grand as your caller indicated. Yeah, voting is going to be crucial. now and in November. Tim says it's Bernie or bust for now, but I'll vote for Hillary in November, holding my nose big time. Ouch. But we have some Hillary people. Candace says people only care if you do what you say you'll do, and Hillary won people over with her farming initiatives, and she attached this reason number 38 why I support Hillary. In 2000, upstate New Yorkers did not vote for her, but she won 63% of the vote upstate in her reelection bid because the voters learned that she listened to them and understood her needs and kept her promises. Yeah, I mean, she has done a lot of good work if you look at her record and working across the aisle, which I think is important as well. But you know, the fact that she's been around and a target in the public eye for 25-plus years, you know, we kind of have expiration dates in terms of public life in this country and in this culture. So that doesn't help. But her steadiness, her sturdiness, I think, does. If you see her, and I think as our caller Christopher indicated, I mean, if you go head-to-head with Donald Trump on a debate stage, come on. You know what I mean? I know he always says, we haven't even started on her yet. But guess what? They haven't even started on you, Donald. It's going to be real tough stuff. They have people who are now Republican PACs running ads. They have one very powerful one. We'll have to try to find them maybe for Friday, Trudy. Look for that. I'll get the audio anyway. Or they're running ads of women reading comments that Donald Trump actually made about women. It's pretty powerful stuff. It's also pretty sick what this guy has done. He also has a real trail of public life because he claims he's an outsider in terms of politics. Well, he hasn't run for office, but he's played the system inside out. I guess you could argue it's like when they hire ex-convicts who were safe crackers and bank robbers to become security experts because they know the game inside out, that he's the one who could fix it because he's played it so well, and he admits that. It's so crazy. It's so mind-boggling to me and frustrating, and I understand the idea that it's delicious to think about running against him because it would be easy to beat, hopefully. But the fact that he's doing what he's doing and saying what he's saying, I find is detrimental and dangerous. And it's true. I agree. We've talked about this before. We have this 24/7 media matrix that goes on, just keeps churning. And with social media, everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's out there. It's nonstop on cable news. And you didn't have that in 68 with George Wallace. That's true. I get it. But we do have it, and it really has been ginned up to a point where it's disheartening in America. To watch this happen in 2016 and see the level of intolerance, to me, is painful to watch. What's your take? Twitter feed AB writes, phone line 347-857-4505, should you be listening live on Tuesday, March 15th. So there you go. Let us know what you're thinking. We'd love to hear from you. Switching gears now briefly, you know, if you're a creative person, a writer, a painter, musician, etc., the one thing that you need to learn, the one word you need to have in your vocabulary, apparently, is no. You can't agree. You know, you got to be able to say no. When people ask you to do things for them, sometimes you have to say no. That's the hallmark of success when it comes to creativity and productivity. That's according to a new article that I saw, which I think is so true. It's so spot on because you really do have to negotiate your priorities. And this is something that I've learned over the years for myself and for my clients that I've worked with and students. You have to find time to create. You have to commit to it. You have to have commitment, discipline, and you have to find the time, and you have to stick to a schedule and make that a priority as opposed to backburnering it. A lot of people will backburner it for you, especially when you're starting out and if you're not famous and rich and on the bestseller list and all that. They will think that it's just a hobby or a dalliance, and you can pick up the packages for me, you can do the shopping for me, you can do the errands, and you can help me with my work. And that's what happens. People want to be helped. And I don't want to say that you should always say no, because I don't agree with that either. You got to pick your spots. And it's intriguing that there was an article here from Business Insider that I just happened to stumble upon last week, which I think is great. And it starts with saying, a Hungarian psychology professor once wrote to famous creators asking them to be interviewed for a book that he was working on. And one of the most intriguing things that came out of that was how many people said, no thanks. Really, because they just said, we don't have the time. One person, a management writer named Peter Drucker, said that one of the secrets of productivity, in which I believe, or I do not believe in creativity, is that we have a very big waste paper basket to take care of all the invitations such as yours. Productivity, in my experience, consists of not doing anything that helps the work of other people, but to spend all of one's time on the work the good Lord has fitted one to do and to do well. Secretary to novelist Saul Bellow wrote, Mr. Bellow informed me that he remains creative in the second half of his life, at least in part, because he does not allow himself to be part of other people's studies. Richard Avedon wrote back, sorry, too little time left. So on and on it went with people saying no, and apparently a third of the people didn't even bother to respond, and that they took as they were just too busy and not ready to do it. So this is important. You have to realize how much energy and time creativity takes, and sitting down with something and honing your skills and working on a project. It's very time-intensive, energy-intensive, and you can't just say yes to everything else. Now, on the other hand, I also know that people help each other out in all kinds of ways. And in our new world that we live in with authors particularly and other artists, musicians, filmmakers, et cetera, having to really bear the brunt of their own publicity and promotion, you want to help each other out. And if you can find a community of writers online, offline, combined, you want to be helpful. And I'm very trepidatious when I ask somebody to help do an advance review of a book because I know how time-consuming it is, and people have asked me. And I try to do as many as I can because I think it's important if somebody wants to ask you to do it, but you can't do it all the time. And sometimes, especially if you're immersed in a project, it's harder. When you're in between projects, when there's a little time, a little hiatus going on, then I'm more flexible. So I never say shut everybody down and never say yes to something, but you have to be conservative about it, and you have to pick your spots, and you have to know your own energy level and where you're at in your project. So I worry about people, and I know some folks who are people pleasers in the community who will do everything and say yes to everybody, and that can be draining, and that can be difficult, especially if they're negotiating other jobs and other commitments, which so many people do. So you have to be protective of your time and your projects, and don't be afraid to assert yourself and say no. Do it constructively, be nice about it, and say yes sometimes, of course, when it's opportune and when somebody who's done something for you, you always want to return the favor. So I think you want to have a generous spirit and a generous heart, but at the same time, you have to control it. You have to modify it. So be careful. I know I work with a lot of clients who are like that, who are real people pleasers and will say yes to everything. And what happens when you say yes to everything, and I've been down this road myself, is you overcommit. And then you either can't do it and you have to back out later, which then just hurts people more, if you've been just saying no at the beginning. But you also, or you do it begrudgingly, and you build up the resentment factor. And if you can't do something with joy and with that generous spirit and heart, then you shouldn't do it. Think about that, because then you're just going to get bitter and angry. And who are you bitter and angry with? I mean, it's not really the person's fault to ask. There's nothing wrong with asking. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. So think about that. And if you have any other questions regarding creativity coaching, by all means, reach out to the website, amybetharkawy, ARKAWY.com. Easy access via the Twitter feed. I do want to give our Inspiration to Action Challenge success story shout-out today to Linda. She is working on a novel. She also says she's contemplating a memoir. She is in where is she located, Trudy? Summit, North Carolina. Okay, I'm not sure where that is, but you're voting today, I hope, Linda. Take time to do that. You got to say yes to that. And she says, she stumbled upon the show and the challenge. It has invigorated me in ways that I never expected. I am working, and I'm more disciplined and more excited about what I'm doing. Hey, that's what it's all about, to get you refocused and more energized and excited about what you're doing. So if the Inspiration to Action Challenge has worked for you, please reach out to us. We'd love to give you a shout-out. I think you deserve it. I also think it helps spark other people's creative imaginations. Again, the website is amybetharkawy.com, A-R-K-A-W-Y. If you need a creativity coaching counseling conversation, we'll start one. Give me a week or two to connect. And the first one, of course, is always on me. Good deal, right?
Razor blade could use a better edge. I forgot to do. And all the times I had the chance,
long-standing collaboration he's had with his lyricist Bernie Taupin, and the man who stoked my imagination as a kid for sure with his fascinating esoteric lyrics and great stories. And they met each other through an ad in a music magazine as teenagers. So who knows? When they say beware of Craigslist, sometimes it works. Good stuff indeed. Hey, reach out via Twitter, AV Ryan, phone line 347-857-4505 if you're listening live on Tuesday, March 15th. Lots of folks chiming in on a busy Twitter feed, and we love it that way. Paulie says, hey, great show, really enjoying it. Thank you, Paulie. Sally says, I'm with Hillary all the way, voting today in Illinois. All right, we'll see what happens. Good luck. And Clive, on the other hand, said, just voted for Bernie in Ohio. Think he's going to win. All right. Well, I think he has a shot at winning Ohio. Better chance probably of winning Illinois and Missouri. I think Hillary will score solid victory, a big one in Florida, and a less big one, but still a substantial one, I think, in North Carolina. But, you know, if you're a Hillary supporter, you probably wanted to win 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 5, you know, in order to become the prohibitive nominee. I mean, yes, I agree. We talked with a caller earlier who said, well, the match just doesn't work in Bernie's favor because he'd have to win a big, you know, percentage, like 65% or whatever. And that probably won't happen, but you have to wonder, is it time to switch the big mo and pivot to the general election, which I think she was hoping to do after a Michigan win, which didn't happen. So if you want to vote for Hillary, don't just assume it's going to happen if you live in those states. On the other hand, if you want to vote for Bernie, you should. And if you want to vote for Trump or Cruz or whoever, you should vote for those people too. I mean, I really believe that. I don't get it sometimes, but I want to hear from everybody, that's for sure. And we like to, you know, I don't like to live in the echo chamber, so by all means have at us at AB Rights. Speaking of politics, what if Caitlyn Jenner and that silly reality show, if it is silly, called I Am Kate, have to do with it? Well, I will say it's because she's pretty clueless. And I dipped into it. I can't stand watching full reality shows. I don't have enough time or energy for this. But I did see part of the first and second episodes, only because she came out as such a staunch conservative, and some of the comments she made really offended her other people on the show. Which, by the way, I will say, if there's any value to this show, and might inch it a little bit over the reality show tawdry line, just a smidge, it would be the supporting cast of characters that they have, which is a collection of what she calls her gal squad of friends that she met in the trans community, headed up by Professor Jenny Boylan, who's an author, and Kate Bornstein, who's an author and activist, and a slew of other gals who are very interesting and colorful characters and people who you don't normally see on TV. So if there's any value to the show, it's watching these people. And it's true, they do take her on, but her views are astounding, and she just seems clueless. I mean, she seems also like dumb as a box of rocks, frankly. I mean, you can have an opinion, and everybody has an opinion, and you don't have to base your opinions on facts, which a lot of people don't bother with, but you can't recreate facts. So when she talks about how the conservatives and the Republicans are going to fix the economy, you have to look at the facts of the Clinton administration and the surplus that was left to the George W. Bush administration and what he did to that and decimated it with wars and tax cuts, et cetera, and how Obama has helped us inch out of that quagmire. Those are just facts, kids. Those are just facts. And that's the economic facts of which she speaks, disregarding, of course, the social issues which bother her compadres so significantly and for good reason. Found a fascinating article. I'll post it. I don't think we posted it last week, but I'll post it again from the Daily Banter. It's a website written by Ches Pazenza, I think it is. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing the word, but the headline is, Caitlyn Jenner may be trans, but she's also wealthy, selfish, and utterly oblivious. On Sunday's season premiere of I Am Kate, the reality star and transgender role model talked conservative politics and reminded us that she brought the extreme privilege of her past life into her new one. You know, what is the basics here is that she talks about supporting, I believe she likes Ted Cruz the most, although she did say one of the folks on the bus, they're now taking a cross-country trip on a bus, stuck in a bus talking politics with Caitlyn Jenner, that has got to be with a pretty dicey bathroom. That has got to be a pretty extreme trip, that's for sure. It was very uncomfortable to watch, and I'm sure it was uncomfortable to sit through. She's very strident, and frankly, as I said, doesn't really have a handle on the facts, but has very strong opinions, as so many Americans have, and we all want to do, I suppose. But she did say that all the current Republican candidates for president would be supportive of transgender rights while being in the White House. Where is this coming from? This is her quote. None of the Republicans say, oh, I hate trans people or I hate gays, she said. They do more. I want a thriving economy so every trans person has a job. I don't think they ever uttered it that way, that's for sure. While it's true that hardly anyone comes right out and says they hate trans people, the overall spirit of this, certainly that last part, is so demonstrably divorced from reality as to be laughable. Sure, there's a very specific breed of long-since-dead Republican who was concerned almost entirely with fiscal issues and for whom conservatism was strictly an economic designation. But that's so far removed from the hyper-exclusionary Fox News-fed right-wing stuff that's going on. I'm paraphrasing a little bit because some of this language is harsh, and even though it is internet, I'd rather not use it, that it will never be existed at all. Today's Republicans make a grand show of persecuting the LGBT community. It's written into their platform and an actual part of their political and social DNA, so says Ches in the Daily Banter. And I can't get my head around how someone can ignore that, especially if you're in that community. And her friends can't either, which is what makes it fascinating to watch. But it's still a little cringeworthy because it is a Kris Jenner-backed production. And Kris Jenner in the previews looks like she'll be prominently featured because they didn't score too well in the ratings last year. So they need all the help they can get. But, you know, what does it say? What also occurred to me is when you listen to somebody like Caitlyn Jenner, who was for 67 years a privileged male, former Olympic champion, pitchman, reality show star, all of that, just transitioned a year ago, is now the face of the transgender community and is clueless to what their needs are and their problems are, really, as she demonstrated last year when she talked about, you know, ridiculing people who had to go to a subculture of sex jobs because they were so discriminated against in traditional employment. She doesn't get it. How is this person the face of transgender? And what strikes me is that we're elevating these reality TV show stars to platforms they don't deserve and they don't know what to do with. Sound familiar when we talk about Donald Trump, reality show star? I don't get it. Our culture is really screwed up. It really is. We've got to take a look at this and think about those values. What's your take? Twitter, AV Rights, phone line 347-857-4505. And yesterday, it was all over the place. It was Pi Day. And that's a good kind, the high-calorie pie, but the 3.14 deal in mathematics. So happy belated Pi Day. I found a song for you. No kidding. It's Lucy Kaplansky. Called A Song About Pi. Pi, that is.
Through all the bygone ages, philosophers and sages have meditated on the circle of mystery. From Euclid to Pythagoras, from Gauss to Anaxagoras, their thoughts have filled the libraries, bulging histories. And yet there was elation throughout the whole Greek nation when Archimedes did his mighty computation. He said, 3-1-4-1, oh my, here's a song we'll sing about pi. Not a sigma or mu, but a well-known Greek letter too. You can have your alphas and your great five eights and omegas for a friend. But that's just what a circle doesn't have a beginning or an end. 3-1-4-1-5-9 is a ratio we don't define. 2 pi times radii gives circumference you can rely. If you square the radius times the pi, you will get the circle space. Here's my song about pi, fit for mathematicians' embrace.
Give me a friggin' cup of coffee, Derek. You should try your or a local cabbage cookie. This muffin's only $3.50, and what's super great is that it's fat-free.
Don't want to smell like an espresso.
It helps
with your coffee scented soul.
Well, maybe you should have some chai tea, or maybe join me in some Thai tea. Come on!
All I really want is a coffee in a non-biodegradable cup. Just a cup of coffee. All I really want is a cup of coffee. Give me a free cup of coffee. Oh, Derek, why won't you listen to me? I don't want a magazine or a CD. I don't want a latte or a frappe. I just want a coffee that doesn't taste crappy. All I really want is a cup of coffee.
Show and Lucy Kaplansky, a song about pie, P-I. I love it. There's a song about everything if you dig deep enough. Trudy knows this, right? It is the Amy Beth Berkley Show on the Twitter feed. People are buzzing about I Am Kate, and not necessarily in a good way, as Jill says. If you've been watching, it's changed my mind, my opinions, rather, on Kate, and not in a good way. Mm-hmm. Kel says, really hope people that need, want, or have curiosity about trans issues don't write off I Am Kate due to Kate. There's so many other voices on there. That's what I was saying, and he goes on to also tweet, loved learning more about Kate Bornstein. People studying gender and trans issues should really seek out her work. And Ellie, though, Ellie, says, Caitlin has too much money and too much privilege for her to get how her support of Cruz and Trump allows violence towards LGBT people. Mm-hmm. Well, the girls on the bus are trying to inform her of that, but it's a tough slog, that's for sure. Will the show succeed? Another person tweeted it's getting canceled after the second season, but that's what they said about the first one. Kris Jenner will try to keep it afloat, that's for sure. Twitter feed, AB Wright's phone line, 347-857-4505. A few minutes left here. Before we go, I do want to recognize and pay tribute to another great progressive rocker who passed away. Boy, these people are dying so quickly. It's amazing how many people from the culture of rock and roll and the entertainment business have passed away early this year. Keith Emerson of Emerson, Lake & Palmer died last week at the age of 71. Great music Emerson, Lake & Palmer will be known for, including this one. Their biggest hit, I think it is, it's Lucky Man on the Amy Beth Show.
He had white horses and ladies by the score, all dressed in satin and waiting by the door. Ooh, what a lucky man he was. Ooh, what a lucky man he was. White lace and feathers, they made up his bed. A gold-covered mattress on which he was led. Ooh, what a lucky man he was. Ooh, what a lucky man he was. Thank you.
country and his king, of his honor and his glory, the people would sing.
Ooh, what a lucky man he was. Ooh, what a lucky man he was.
A bullet that found him, his blood ran as he cried. No money could save him, so he lay down and he died.
I'm just a wreck. This thing is all anybody can talk about.
No one likes us. I don't know why. We may not be perfect, but heaven knows we try. But all around, even our old friends put us down. Let's drop the big one and see what happens. We give them money, but are they grateful? Spiteful and hateful, they don't respect us, so let's surprise them. We'll drop the big one and pulverize them. Asia's crowded, Europe's too old, Africa's far too hot, and Canada's too cold. South America stole our name. Let's drop the big one, there'll be no one left to blame us. We'll save Australia. Don't wanna hurt no kangaroo. We'll build an all-American amusement park there. They got surfing too. Boom goes London, boom Paris. More room for you and more room for me. In every city, the whole world round, we'll just be another American town. Oh, how peaceful it will be. We'll set everybody free. You wear a Japanese kimono, baby, be a tie and shoes for me. They all hate us anyhow, so let's drop the big one now. Let's drop the big one now.
Randy Newman, his wry observations and political science on the Amy Beth Arquie Show, and saluting the late Keith Emerson with the classic Emerson, Lake and Palmer tune, Lucky Man. It is the Amy Beth Arquie Show. Oh, so lucky and happy to have you playing with us in real time. Don't forget, it's a 24/7 proposition at Twitter. Keep talking at AV Rights. You can also follow our producer, Trudy Hart, on Twitter at Radio Trudy. Friend me on Facebook. Follow us on the Blog Talk Radio site, Stitcher, Mixcloud, Arch Radio Network, select editions there, and, of course, all roads lead back to the website, amybetharkaway.com. Thank you so much for joining us today. Drive safe, play nice, dream big. Please come back and see us. And by the way, if you haven't yet done so, you better bring your watch forward an hour. Otherwise, time will not be on your side. We'll leave you with the Stones. Take care.